Two decisions could shape the franchise in Green Bay. Brian Gutekunst made one. Matt LaFleur made another. And 2023 may well serve as a referendum on both, which could have enormous impacts on this team moving forward. We dive into it today on the show.
You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Pop.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You're Locked On Packers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, and I cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you'll find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. A report from Jeremy Fowler yesterday said the Philadelphia Eagles are bringing Jim Leonard in for an interview for their vacant defensive coordinator position. Jonathan Gannon leaves to become the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, one of the less inspiring hires of this coaching cycle. And Jim Leonard's apparent interest in the NFL may come as a surprise to Packers fans because Jim Leonard had the opportunity to leave for the NFL. He was given the opportunity by Green Bay. He was, by all reports, the favorite to get the Packers defensive coordinator job after Mike Pettine was fired, to the point that Jim Leonard had to come out and say, "I'm staying in Wisconsin." Now, at the time, we can assume it's because he thought he was the head coach in waiting in Wisconsin. That turned out not to be the case. Now, my understanding of that situation, by the way, is that it was much more complicated than that. It wasn't just that he thought he was going to get that job. There were other things at play, other reasons that he decided not to go to Green Bay that didn't actually have much to do with Green Bay at all. And we've talked about the opportunities to upgrade the defensive coordinator position, Brian Flores going inside the division. You've had Ejiro Evero change teams and not go to Green Bay. Steve Wilks change teams and not go to Green Bay. Coaches that are widely considered better than Joe Barry. When Matt LaFleur made that decision, it had impacts on a 2021 championship team. Now, I don't think that decision ultimately cost them the championship in a way. Ironically, it had nothing to do with them because they had their best defensive performance of the season. And in 2021, they played their best in their biggest games. That was not a Joe Barry problem. And frankly, I don't think Joe Barry was the problem in 2022 either. Not the problem. He was part of some of the early struggles of this defense, and ultimately in the second half of the season, one of the big reasons why they started playing to their potential. That's not the issue here. Matt LaFleur chose Joe Barry over Ejiro Evero. Now, who knows? If Ejiro Evero is on this staff over the last 2 years, maybe he's a head coach, maybe he's somewhere else right now. Anyway, and this is moot, but that decision was made to go with Joe Barry. Joe Barry is going to be the defensive coordinator for the Packers this season, in a year where we're expecting this defense to be better than it was last year. We expected last year for it to be better than it was the year before. And maybe this is eventually just on us for expecting something different. But you have to get a return on your investment. And the Packers have invested heavily on defense. Matt LaFleur's decision to hire and then keep Joe Barry is going to be a huge reason why the Packers sink or swim in 2023 with a defense it has put a ton of resources into trying to maximize. In the spring of 2020, Brian Gutekunst drafted Jordan Love. And he did so instead of drafting T. Higgins and Michael Pittman Jr. He did not trade up to try and get Brandon Ayuk or Justin Jefferson. Any of those players would have been
easily the second best receiver on the Packers over the last three seasons, starting in 2020 and certainly 2021, 2022. That bet was made because the idea was Aaron Rodgers was declining and Jordan Love could come in, step in a year or two, and lead your franchise forward. Whether or not Jordan Love is the quarterback in 2023, this gamble will show essentially if it worked or not. Not even if it worked. Because if Jordan Love is not the quarterback, if it is, in fact, Aaron Rodgers, I think you can make a reasonable case if you're Brian Gutekunst. Look, drafting Jordan Love is what pissed Aaron Rodgers off to play like an MVP for 2 years. And if that costs a first-round pick, every Packer fan in existence would say that's worth it, right? How can you balance that against having someone like, you know, Chase Claypool or T. Higgins or Michael Pittman Jr.? It's tough. It's tough to really say. Like, if you get 2019 Rodgers in 2020 with T. Higgins, does he play and produce like 2020 Rodgers? Maybe. Maybe he does. We don't know for sure. But the future of the franchise is in whether or not Jordan Love can play. And if Jordan Love can play, then Brian Gutekunst is going to get a long runway to build this team moving forward in his image. If Jordan Love can't, if the Packers go into the 2023 season not really sure if Jordan Love is the guy. Now, we have reporting and you know, information out there sourced that the Packers believe in Jordan Love, that they think he is a really good football player, capable. And Brian Gutekunst has said on the record, we think Jordan Love is a starting quarterback. Now, we've got to see that. We've got to see that play out in real time. We have to watch it with our own eyes and go, yep, that's a starting quarterback. They need to win games with Jordan Love. He needs to play well. They need to win because, in part at least, because of Jordan Love, not just with Jordan Love in a way that like the 49ers won with Brock Purdy, not because of Brock Purdy. If they have to keep running this back with Aaron Rodgers, or if Jordan Love fails, the Packers could be looking for a new general manager in a year or two. That's just the reality of this business. Even if Jair Alexander was a great pick, plus you get an extra first. Even if Rashawn Gary was a great pick. Even if Elgton Jenkins was a great pick. Christian Watson, a great pick. Romeo Doubs, Zach Tom. So there's some really good draft picks in there over the last couple of years. There's some duds too, but there's some really great picks. There's some incredible, inspired free agent signings. Za'Darius Smith, Adrian Amos, Billy Turner, Preston Smith, keeping Preston Smith, all the financial hoops that you had to jump through with the help of Russ Ball, of course, to keep all of this together. And then some of the things that you did on the margins, bringing in Devondre Campbell, bringing in Rasul Douglas, those ended up being monumental signings for the Green Bay Packers. But if you don't get this position right, it could cost you your job, or at least cost you runway to figure this out in a post-Rodgers era. The same is true, maybe to a lesser degree, with Matt LaFleur. Because if this defense underperforms relative to its talent again in 2023, you're going to be looking for a new defensive coordinator. You're going to be looking for a new vision. Now, I believe that Matt LaFleur, one of the reasons why he has stood by Joe Barry over the last, especially over the last year, but the last 2 years, is because Matt LaFleur has taken a more active approach to this defense, to guiding it in his image, much the same way Brian Gutekunst has shaped this team in his image, the way that he wants it to look. I think Matt LaFleur has this defense playing, at least philosophically, the way that he wanted it to play and defended the way that Joe Barry was calling this defense in ways that he didn't with Mike Pettine. When those guys were not pressing on the outside and he wanted them to, when those guys were not playing as aggressively and he wanted them to, he said so. He said it in the media. Even when the defense was playing pretty well, remember all of 2019, they did play well. There were some shots from Matt LaFleur toward Mike Pettine. That wasn't his guy. Joe Barry is. But while these other teams, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles went to the Super Bowl last year because they made the A.J. Brown trade. And they hit on some key draft picks. Their quarterback that they took a risk on when they had a franchise quarterback, they thought, everyone thought, hit. Jalen Hurts was an MVP candidate this year. Can Jordan Love do that? Howie Roseman, he walks on water in Philadelphia. That's not true for Brian Gutekunst, and that's not true for Matt LaFleur. The Eagles could hire the guy that the Packers wanted to hire. Now, look, we don't know if the Packers could have hired Jim Leonard. We don't know if the Packers could have said to Ejiro Evero or to Brian Flores or to any of the Steve Wilks, hey, we'll fire Joe Barry or we'll kick him upstairs and be assistant head coach, senior defensive, whatever, and make up a name title and we'll let you call the defense if they would have accepted. You can only be judged on your choices, on your decisions, based on the options that you had when you made those choices. So we don't know if they could have done that, but we also don't know if they did. We also don't know if they inquired, hey, Brian Flores, what do you think? Do you want to come in? We don't know that they did that. So we can't give them the benefit of the doubt and say, well, we don't know that they didn't do that. Well, who cares? We have no evidence that they did. And so we don't know what their true options were. We also don't know and have no reason to believe they made any effort to make a change. We have no reason to believe that. And in fact, the evidence we have, their number one candidate interviewing in Philadelphia, being part of it, and Matt LaFleur saying on the record, I don't expect to make any changes to my coaching staff, that tells us they probably were not out there trying to hustle and make changes to what's going on with this coaching staff. If you fail again this year, if the defense isn't, let's just say, top half, low expectations, it's a low bar to clear. Upper half of the league would be great. Not one of the five worst run defenses in football would be great. And you need to see something out of Jordan Love. Now, I think if you're Brian Gutekunst, you're the one that has the best case to push back because you're going, look, I was one of the huge reasons this team was complete enough to go 13-3, 13-4, to win 13 games, three straight seasons, to be the number one seed multiple times, three first-round buys, all that stuff. And the free agency and the draft. And Aaron Rodgers just played well enough. And so if he wanted to come back, we were going to let him come back. And then you figure out the Jordan Love thing, and maybe you don't have a real answer on what Jordan Love is until 2024. But that is part of the problem. You made this selection with the idea that Aaron Rodgers was going to decline. And he didn't. He did the opposite. Now, last year he declined, was hurt, all those things, which means instead of taking someone that would bolster Aaron Rodgers as he is potentially declining, which was an option. You thought Aaron Rodgers was declining? Well, you saw in 2019, they could still win. You get another player in there, a playmaker in there, T. Higgins. It's hard to argue they wouldn't have been a better team with T. Higgins on their team in 2020. They would have been. They would have been in 2021. And maybe in 2021, against the 49ers, he throws the ball to T. Higgins instead of Alan Lazard wide open in the middle of the field, instead of forcing the ball to Davante Adams down the field. But if you're Brian Gutekunst, you're saying, look, it was a logical move at the time. And it was insurance. And there's still a chance in 2024 to give him an opportunity, whether it's on the franchise tag or whatever it is, fifth year option, whatever they decide to do. We're going to know in the next couple months that I deserve, if I'm Brian Gutekunst, the opportunity to let's see this play out. I don't think, you know, anyone's going to get fired off of this year. But I think those two decisions, could come to define the era of both of these two men, which means if this defensive coordinator doesn't work, now you're trying to rebuild a new defensive coordinator, a new quarterback. What does that look like? We don't know if Matt LaFleur can handle that. You hope he can. I think he can. I think he's a really good coach, but these coaching decisions are concerning. If you're Brian Gutekunst, I think Brian Gutekunst is a capable general manager. I think he's better than most general managers. I think he's in the top 10 general managers in the league. Top 12. But that doesn't mean that the Jordan Love pick can't come back to haunt him. And so this season, I think, is in a lot of ways a referendum on those two decisions. If Jordan Love goes and balls out, Brian Gutekunst is vindicated. If this defense goes out and plays really well, in a lot of ways, Matt LaFleur is vindicated. Because it wasn't the defense's fault the last 2 years that they faltered. Could they have been better? Yeah. But like in 2021, they were going to be better than the number one overall seed that played suffocating defense and allowed 10 points in a playoff game. Like, how much more do you want? How much more do you want? And they, you know, they didn't even allow the touchdown. Special teams. So it's the kind of thing that, is it fair? Maybe not. But it's the NFL. A lot of this stuff is not fair. I want to talk about some voids, some contracts, some players. The Packers had some decisions to make. As of this recording, we don't know what the decisions were, but some things that we need to think about moving forward here about who is going to be and who is not going to be on this roster. Some names that you may have heard of look like they will not be a part of the Packers in 2023, though that can still change. First, let's talk about our friends at Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat, but don't want all the fat and calories? Then Built Bar is your choice. Built Bar is healthy and also delicious. I had one today. They're wonderful. They're the perfect mid-afternoon snack when you're craving a little something. You need something in your stomach. Lunch didn't quite hit you the way that you needed it to. But you don't want to grab junk. It'll make you feel kind of bloated and gross, even if it'll taste good. And you don't want to have carrots because that's not satisfying. You're hungry. You're a little tired. You're a little cranky. You've been working all day. You want something delicious, but also to fuel your body. That's where Built Bar comes in. 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein, and they nail it with the flavor. 100% covered in real chocolate. And I had the brownie puffs. Amazing. Coconut puffs. Amazing. I love all the puff flavors. The chunk flavors. Awesome. Churro, puff, peanut butter, brownie, coconut, almond. They are incredible. And now you don't have to wait for Built to deliver them to your door at Built.com. Though you can go to Built.com if you have the time. Great. If you don't, go to Walmart, go to Sam's Club and pick yourself up a box today. So the Packers had a number of players who, if extensions were not worked out, their contracts voided yesterday. As of this recording, we don't know the fates of these players. Randall Cobb, Big Bob Tonyan, Mercedes Lewis, Adrian Amos, Jerron Reed, Dean Lowry. And these all connect to what happened with Aaron Jones. And let me start there. The Packers saved $11 million restructuring Aaron Jones' contract. They added a void year to the end of that deal. The reason all of these players are coming up with void years is because the Packers had to use salary cap shenanigans just to get under the cap over the last few years. If you ask Brian Gutekunst, and he's been asked about this, he has said that the COVID year screwed everything up. And that's true, right? You expect revenues have just gone up. They always go up. New rights deal, and they're going to go up again. They're going to keep going up. There's a new deal coming. They're going to go up even more. So you normally don't worry about it. Then you have this black swan event and you're going, okay, well, now the revenue is down. They ended up having just a flat cap. And teams like the Packers that had spent big, they're scrambling. So rather than just cut players, which is what Ted Thompson probably would have done, Brian Gutekunst instructed Russ Ball. I'm assuming that's how it worked, but maybe Mark Murphy was involved as well. Matt LaFleur could have been involved as well and said, well, you can't just gut the team. And it makes me wonder, is this something that is going to continue? Because this is the Saints just did this and continue to do it. And I thought, okay, well, this is a Drew Brees thing. They're just going all in on these Drew Brees years. They have a finite number of years in this window. And so you just keep kicking the can until Drew Brees is done. But no, they're still doing it. And they're still figuring it out. And every year they're moving money. And it's because, as I've often said, the salary cap is fake. It's fungible. You can just rework a deal. If you're the Packers and you go, hey, Aaron Jones, you're going to get cut unless we rework this deal. He's going to go, let's rework the deal. Because the big money is the cap number. It's not Aaron Jones's cash flow. Yeah, there's base. Well, you can convert some base, turn it into to signing bonus. He gets the money. You add it, you spread it across, you add the void year, and now all of a sudden you smooth the cap hit out. He was never going to play on a $20 million cap hit. Anyone who's paying any attention, any modicum of attention, could not have ever believed that that was actually going to be the situation that the Packers and Aaron Jones were going to be in. And you got a lot of people going, when that deal was signed, oh, well, he's only going to be on the team through 2021 or 2022 because he can't play on that 2023 number. Yeah, he was never going to play on the 2023 number. That number was fake. And hopefully he knew it. His agent definitely knew it. And the Packers definitely knew it. You can move this money around. The Packers moved the money around with Adrian Amos. They moved the money around with Dean Lowry. They did weird stuff with Randall Cobb's contract because they had to, and they added void years to make his number as low as they possibly could. They did the same with Mercedes Lewis. They did the same with Big Bob Tonyan because last year they needed the money for Aaron Rodgers because he needed the money. Because remember, it's always about the money. Is this a tool that they're just going to keep using? And as long as they're good, they should, by the way. And even if they're not good, like, fine. They're still not even going to have an incredibly high number of dead money. Now, there are some of these players on this list. The thing about voids is the money counts. The money's going to count no matter what. So you can pay them. You can create an extension and just slot the money in. So if you're going to void $6.5-7 million of Adrian Amos and that he's going to count in dead money on the cap, that you can pay him $5.5-6 million. Now it's a cash flow issue because you have to give him that new money, but he's already on the cap at that number. You're not really losing anything. You just have to pay him. You can do the same thing. You could give Jerron Reed a minimum contract. You could give Mercedes Lewis a minimum contract. Now, you'd want to, some of those guys, you'd like to give them a little more, not Jerron Reed necessarily, but Mercedes Lewis maybe. And it's not going to change much on the cap. Dean Lowry, same thing. Not going to change much on the cap if you bring him back on a veteran minimum deal. So why not? A couple million? You bring it back if you want. And if you don't, bye. They're out. And you can afford to eat a little bit of dead cap. Now, it is more problematic when you got to eat, you know, millions and millions of Jimmy Graham dollars or millions and millions of Nick Perry dollars. Or you have to eat 40 million of Aaron Rodgers dollars. That's going to be a separate issue. Then you have, you know, if you're going to pay Jordan Love, it'd be one reason why you'd want to get an extension done with him soon, because you can probably get him in that middle class market where there aren't that many other quarterbacks. And so, hey, great. At $25 million a year, you can have Jordan Love for the next two seasons or three seasons or whatever it is. And he's the 15th highest paid quarterback in the league. And maybe you get a top eight quarterback and you get all this surplus value. If he's good, right? That's what you do. He's not going to get 50 million a year. Now Daniel Jones wants 45. He's not going to get it. He's going to get in the 30s, and that's fine. Is this something they're going to continue to do? I think you probably would need to get Brian Gutekunst, 5 or 6 bourbons deep at the combine to get a straight answer about this. But my guess is, as long as it works, as long as they're fielding a competitive team, you just keep doing this. And if you need to eat a little dead money here, dead money there, it's fine. And the thing about it is, with a player like Aaron Jones, you can just keep kicking the can down the road. And as you do, most of the time, the money gets less and less if they continue to be a good player. So like with Aaron Jones, if he ends up playing out his contract and you have to move the money a couple times, by the end, it's not going to be that much because he'll have made the money and he'll have earned the money because Aaron Jones is, I continue to believe, the most underrated running back in football. Since he entered the league, he has been one of the three most efficient running backs in the league. Period. End of story. That is just like the numbers are what the numbers are. He has produced as a top three running back by efficiency. In whatever metric you want to go to, he is an all-time efficient running back. One of the most efficient running backs in league history. Seriously. So if you have good players, if the players are good, like it kind of doesn't matter. And most of these guys, you're talking about hundreds of thousands in dead money or a million and a half. That's all so, so, so workable. That's so fine. Is it optimal? No. But for the extra year of Mercedes Lewis, you do it. For the extra year of Randall Cobb, if that's what Aaron Rodgers wants, the extra year of Big Bob Tonyan, if that's what Aaron Rodgers wanted, you do it. I think Jerron Reed is, you know, he helped them win the Cowboys game. They don't win the Cowboys game without him. He helped them win. Him being awesome helped them win multiple games this last season. And if that costs $1.5 million with him not on the team next year, or is the framework for him to get a new deal, totally fine. Totally fine. I think that there's a good chance that he gets that. And they're able to work something on you, bring him back because he was useful for you. We'll see how this sorts itself out. I think in the coming days, we'll get updates. You know, it's not like this stuff has to be reported right away. You know, the teams will know, the players will know, the league will know. We might not. And that's okay. We'll probably get the information either later today or tomorrow, maybe even late tonight as I'm recording this late on Monday. So maybe, you know, it comes out late in the evening that we get all this information about all these players. But for right now, that's one of the reasons why I didn't want to, you know, deal with, okay, what happens is, because this is more to me about the tool. Is this a tool they're going to continue to use? I'm fascinated, fascinated to see the answer to that. Before we finish up, today's episode brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. The midway point of the NBA season is here, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. I'm up money from the NFL season, which means NBA season. Let's go. It's ready. It's ready. I've got a stockpile to go and try and let's win some more money. Let's be up on the NBA season as well. FanDuel lets you combine bets, same game parlays. Love those. Definitely use those. Take advantage of those. So don't miss the chance to get your no sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/lockedon. That's FanDuel.com/lockedon to make more. To learn more, make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. I mentioned this at the end of yesterday's show, and I mentioned it again at the end of today's show. The Derek Carr market, Derek Carr's brother said he's going to take his time figuring this all out. And my first thought is, yes, of course, because Aaron Rodgers needs to go first. And this is where I am now. This is the take I have landed on. No team is going to sign Derek Carr until they know what Aaron Rodgers is doing. If Aaron Rodgers is going back to Green Bay, then Derek Carr is the prize of the offseason QB market. If he's not, then everyone is going to throw their chips in on Aaron Rodgers, and then Derek Carr will be the consolation prize, and maybe not even the top one. Who knows? Now, What does that mean for our timeline as we try and figure out what's next for the Green Bay Packers? We'll see when Aaron Rodgers returns from his darkness. Is he going to be on the show, the Pat McAfee show today? I don't know. I guess we'll see. We're going to get an answer here, I think shortly, less than a month before the new league year opens. So in the next couple weeks, basically by definition, we're going to know what the deal is with Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers. And maybe we'll get the answer when there's a trade. Because I think it's not good for anybody if Aaron Rodgers goes on Pat McAfee's show and says it's time to move on, because that's going to kill it. Maybe that's what he wants. If he wants to move on, it's going to kill the trade market. I just don't think that that's the situation that is right for anybody. But maybe that's how this plays out. We'll see. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus is going to be on the show. Hopefully tomorrow. Hopefully later this week, but hopefully tomorrow, to talk about Packers free agency, to talk about the draft, and a lot more. That is coming up later in the week. You can subscribe to Locked On Packers on any podcast platform that you use. And of course, subscribe on YouTube. We're going to be live when Aaron Rodgers makes a decision, when the Packers make a decision, when he's either coming back or traded, whatever it is, we will have a live show for you on our YouTube page so you can stay Locked On Packers.